Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is the Thomasius Epistle lesson appointed for this Exaudi Sunday, which we find recorded in the first general letter of John, chapter 3, reading from verse 19 through verse 24. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord and Savior, dearly beloved hearers of his precious word. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in his second epistle, chapter 13, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Strangely enough, we find that many people consider this to be a relatively easy task. They think that all they have to do is ask themselves, do I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And when the answer to the question is yes, the examination is over and the job is complete. Simple. Like examining oneself for the Lord's Supper, asking oneself four simple questions, and we're done. Not by a long shot. For the apostle doesn't tell us merely to ask ourselves whether we are in the faith, but he says that we should examine ourselves. That is to test ourselves. To put our hearts on trial, as it were, to see whether the evidence backs up our claim. Talk is cheap, the saying goes. And in our epistle lesson last Sunday, you recall the Apostle James warned us of just how easy it is to make claims of faith without being doers of the word. If any man among you seem to be religious, even to himself, and bridleth not his tongue, just can't quit talking about himself and his faith, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, he says. Fortunately, true Christians have a real friend in God's Holy Spirit, whom Jesus himself calls our comforter. For the Bible tells us that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. Not only does he create, strengthen, and sustain in our hearts the confidence that clings to Jesus' merits alone for our salvation, as he works in us through his precious gospel, not only does he give us internal testimony that we are God's children by faith in Christ Jesus, but he also creates in us, by that same powerful word, visible evidence that we are heirs of everlasting life. Evidence that we, ourselves, and others can see as proof that we are in the faith, that we are justified in the sight of God by faith in his free grace and mercy to the undeserving. This visible evidence we call the external testimony of the Holy Spirit. It is that witness which we consider today on the basis of our text, and the blessed fact that the external testimony of the Holy Spirit assures us that we are truly God's children, even when our own hearts condemn us. When we are looking for an answer to our prayers, and when we examine ourselves as to our faith in Christ Jesus as our Savior. And may this meditation increase our value of the Holy Ghost and his indispensable work in our hearts and in our lives as we prepare to celebrate his festival next Sunday, Pentecost, the feast of God the Holy Spirit. The apostle writes in our text, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." In the verses leading up to this wonderful statement, John points out that brotherly love, love not merely in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, verse 18, is an index or measure of whether we have the true and saving faith in Christ Jesus. Whether we have that sure confidence in the mercy of God, whereby we are perfectly and personally justified in his sight. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have been forgiven from all of our sins and redeemed from the curse of the law. We know that we no longer have to face the prospect of the wages of sin, but have eternal life as a result of God's justification of poor sinners. We know that because we love the brethren." Notice that the love of the brethren isn't what causes us to believe that. Love of the brethren shows that our hearts are aglow with new spiritual life, a life of faith which has made us new creatures in Christ our Savior. For no unregenerate person, that is, no one whose heart has not been converted by the power of the Holy Ghost through the Word, is able to feel, nor is he or she able to evidence real, genuine love in the sight of God. And yet, as hard as we try, as hard as we try to exhibit, that is to show forth and make evident true, sincere, and perfect love toward our Christian brethren in our lives, we fall far short of the mark every single time. Because of our old sinful flesh, in which dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with us, Paul writes in Romans chapter 7. But how to perform that which is good, we find not. And even though we grow in sanctification, even though we improve from day to day by God's grace and with his help, our heart, if it is a heart of the truth, condemns us. Our heart accuses us of not being loving enough. We know down deep inside that we are not bringing forth either the quantity or the quantity of fruit that our Savior expects of us, that our Savior demands of us, that our Savior says should be a mark of identification concerning us, that we are his children. If ye have love one toward another, and neither our new man of faith nor God himself is ever satisfied with less than perfection. And so our heart condemns us. When we examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, whether we see whether there is any evidence to back up our claim that we are believers, our heart condemns us and says, maybe not. Nevertheless, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Isn't that a wonderful statement? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, writes the psalmist, Psalm 103. He also knows that by faith in Christ Jesus, Christ's perfect righteousness is imputed or counted as our righteousness. So that, as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation for God, from God, who has reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. No condemnation that should emanate from our own hearts. And from this external testimony of the Spirit, namely that he has created in us fruits of faith, love of God, love of his word, love of our Christian brethren, and all the other fruits of the Spirit that are evident in our lives, though miserably imperfect, we shall assure our hearts before him. We can properly defend ourselves against the accusations of our own hearts. We can defend ourselves against the accusations of the devil. We can defend ourselves against the accusations of the world round about us. And we can be assured, he says, of our state of grace. We can be assured of our justification in the sight of God. We can be assured that we are the children of God and heirs of eternal life. All through our, yes, I said, through our good works. For our good works are visible. Our good works are external. Our good works are tangible evidence of our faith worked in us by God's own Holy Spirit to assure us. Moreover, that same external testimony of the Holy Spirit assures us that we are God's children when we look for an answer to our prayers. Beloved, says John in our text, if our heart condemn us not, if the testimony of God's Holy Spirit has allayed our fears and quieted the accusations of our hearts, then we have confidence toward God. Then indeed, we are filled with boldness to approach God with confidence in our prayers, to ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father, as Luther explains in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. For we rely not on our own self-confidence, but we rely upon His promises to us, that His ears are always open unto our prayers. That whatsoever we ask, John says in our text, we receive of Him. When we ask for spiritual blessings necessary for our salvation, such as growth in grace, strength of faith, the ability to withstand the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, when we pray for faithfulness to our Savior and to His Word even unto our earthly end, we receive of Him those very things, because they are all according to His good and gracious will for us. That's what He wants to give us. And what He wants to give us, we can be assured that He will give us. And even when we ask for other blessings, temporal blessings, for example, we leave to His fatherly discretion to give us what He deems best. And we receive of Him those things as well. Whatsoever we ask, according to His will. Why? John says, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Whoa. Does that mean that we Christians earn God's favor by our works and that we reap His blessings by our efforts? Not at all. For we still have to confess with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Genesis 32:10. But God is well pleased with us for Jesus' sake. His Holy Spirit, by means of the gospel, brought us to saving faith in Christ Jesus in the first place. Created in us that confidence of the heart whereby we lay hold on and receive for ourselves God's justification, which Christ purchased and won for all mankind. And that same Holy Spirit has, by the power of the very same gospel, renewed our hearts, so that now, in our new man of faith, we can overcome sin and do good works pleasing in His sight. Not contributing to our justification, not overriding our sins, but as evidence that we have been justified. And all blemishes, all lacks, all shortcomings in our works of sanctification are covered by Jesus' perfect righteousness. And because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight as evidence of our faith and His mercy to us poor wretched human beings, He bestows upon us rewards. Rewards not of works, not of debt, but rewards of grace. Particularly in answering our prayers, so that we are further assured in our own hearts and minds that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that we may, with all boldness and confidence, ask Him, as dear children ask their dear Father. Thus, the very fact that God hears and answers our prayers for Jesus' sake, that He graciously inclines His ear to what we have to say or what we have to ask for, that He creates in us the fruits as evidence of our faith, all of that confirms to us in a visible way, in a tangible way, in an external way, that we are, in fact, His believing children, that we have been justified by faith, and that by His grace we are even now walking in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because of what He has done for us. To be sure, this external witness of the Holy Spirit also assures us that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. And that He will continue to work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What commandment? What commandment does He want us to fulfill? John answers, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Of all of God's commandments, one is the greatest. Not a commandment of the law, but the so-called gospel imperative, His earnest plea, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Indeed, when the Jews asked Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God. This is what God wants you to do, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And when we poor sinners, moved and enabled by the Holy Ghost through the power of the gospel, confidently believe on the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, when we rely without wavering upon Jesus' vicarious atonement, his propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, when we rely upon that sacrifice which redeemed us from the curse of the law, redeemed us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, and reconciled us to his heavenly Father, that we might receive the adoption of sons, this is his gracious and good will. That's what he wants for us. Yet, it is faith alone whereby we receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons is his gift in Christ to all the world. God will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of that blessed truth. But we receive the adoption of sons by faith. Confidence of the heart, created in us, not by ourselves and our own sanctified desires, but created in us by the Holy Ghost. Faith which trusts the mercy of God to poor sinners for Christ's sake. Faith which lays hold on justification, lays hold on the forgiveness which God declared for the whole world in Christ, lays hold on the righteousness of Christ himself, which he earned for every soul of man. Faith which makes us acceptable in his sight. It is because of faith's object that God reckons it for righteousness. The garments of salvation, that's what faith clings to. Christ's perfect righteousness, Jesus' blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. His saving gifts of grace, without which no one can enter into the marriage feast of heaven. By grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how we are personally justified and eternally saved. Not by a combination of faith and works, as the Romanists teach, but by God's grace, through the faith that he creates in our hearts to receive it, to hold on to it, unto the very end. It's his gift. But then out of that faith, which God desires, out of that faith which God commands, the faith which he gives and works in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, the faith whereby we are personally justified before God and are made righteous before him. Out of that faith, true love for one another will flow as naturally as sap from a living tree, as visible, tangible evidence. The external testimony of the Spirit that we are in fact the children of God and heirs of everlasting life in heaven. If we do not have love for our Christian brethren, if we are not moved to love our Christian brethren. If love for our Christian brethren is one of those optional things which we say we can well do without, especially when they are not particularly lovable, then, having examined ourselves as to whether we are in the faith, we're going to come up short. Because then we have denied and rejected the external testimony of the Spirit that we are the sons of God. And he that keepeth his commandments, he that brings forth this fruit of the Spirit's work in the heart, he that truly believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and loves the brethren as evidence of that faith, dwelleth in him, and he in him. True, sincere, unpretended, brotherly love exists only where the Savior has made his abode in the heart. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Jesus dwells in hearts that have been changed, that have been converted, that have been enlightened by his Holy Spirit through the gospel. And we have external, visible evidence of that work in us. What is it? Because we love the brethren. Now, my dear hearers, when we set about to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, when we put our claim of saving faith to the test, we have not only our words to place in evidence as testimony of our faith, but by God's grace, we also have our works, which speak louder than mere words. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit himself for us to see when our heart would have us think otherwise. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God for others as well to see, that they may glorify not us, but our Father in heaven for the richness of his grace and mercy to poor, unworthy, wretched sinners. May he continue to grant us that blessed assurance, that blessed, tangible, palpable, visible, manifest assurance that we are the children of God, even unto the end, for Jesus, our precious Savior's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.